Welcome to Lindy Upgrade Studio. Our TOEFL reading podcast helps you build the background knowledge, academic vocabulary, and useful expressions behind real TOEFL reading passages. So whether you're out for a run, at the gym, on your commute, or doing chores around the house, pop in your earbuds and let English sink in naturally.
And we have a really, really fascinating topic lined up for you today.
We totally do. So today's mission for our deep dive is tackling Article 40, which is all about expert systems.
Right. And our goal here is to really break down this TOEFL academic reading passage, extract the high-level C1 vocabulary, and explore the roots and affixes of the key terms.
Yeah, so you'll have all the core concepts locked in and be totally prepared to answer any questions about it. But before we jump in, I just have to point out the wild transition from our last deep dive.
Oh, yeah. Talk about mental whiplash.
Right. I mean, the last article you completed was Article 39, Stoicism and Ancient Philosophy. We were literally hanging out in ancient Greece, talking about guys in togas, pondering emotional control and inner peace.
Yeah, spending time with Marcus Aurelius.
Exactly. And now, boom, we are dropping you straight into modern computer science, artificial intelligence, and algorithms.
Which is such a perfect example of what the TOEFL exam actually does to you.
Oh, totally. Yeah. It just tests a massive variety of subjects. One minute it's history, the next it's biology, and then you're suddenly reading about computer science.
Right. And you can't always rely on your own background knowledge. You have to lean on your reading strategies and your academic vocabulary.
Yeah, that's exactly why we're here. So let's look at the blueprint for today's deep dive. What's the plan?
Well, first, we're going to define what an expert system actually is. Then we'll look at this fascinating real-world example from the 1970s called MYCIN.
Okay, MYCIN.
Sounds cool.
It is. After that, we'll dive into the limitations of those early systems because there were definitely some major flaws. And finally, we'll talk about how modern technology is trying to fix those issues.
Love it. So let's start with section one, decoding the basics. What exactly is an expert system? So according to the source text, expert systems are a specific branch of artificial intelligence, but we need to clarify what kind of AI we mean here.
Right, because when people hear AI, they immediately think of, like, Hollywood movies. Walking, talking robots that have feelings or, you know, want to take over the world.
Exactly. And the text makes it very clear that is not what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. These systems are designed to mimic human experts' decision-making by applying a really strict set of rules to solve complex problems.
Mostly in fields like medicine and engineering, right?
Yeah, medicine and engineering are the classic examples. They are essentially just massive decision-making trees.
Okay, so to help you visualize this, imagine a recipe book. But obviously not a recipe for baking a chocolate cake.
No, no.
Imagine a recipe book written by a master chef, but the recipe is actually for solving complex engineering math.
That's a great analogy.
It's basically just a giant if this then that flowchart. Like, if the bridge needs to hold 5 extra tons, then use this specific thickness of steel cable. If the soil is too soft, then pour a deeper foundation.
Right. And the machine reading that recipe book has zero intuition.
Not at all.
Like, a human chef might taste a sauce, realize the tomatoes are too acidic, and just instinctively add a pinch of sugar, even if it's not in the recipe.
Right, because humans can adapt on the fly.
Exactly. But the expert system doesn't know what a bridge is or what wind feels like. It only knows the flowchart.
Which makes the author's vocabulary choice in that first paragraph so important. The text says these systems are designed to, quote, mimic the decision-making abilities of human experts.
Ah, mimic. That is such an essential C1-level verb for the TOEFL.
Yeah, let's break that down.
So to mimic means to copy the behavior or speech of others, but it's usually copying just the external features without possessing the internal reality.
Like in biology, right?
Exactly.
You see harmless snakes that mimic the bright colors of venomous snakes to scare away predators. The harmless snake doesn't suddenly have venom, it's just mimicking the look.
Perfect example. The computer program doesn't suddenly go to medical school and gain a doctor's intuition. It just mimics the doctor's output based on the rules.
But wait, I know a lot of learners get tripped up between mimic and imitate. I mean, they seem like the exact same thing.
They are super close, but there's a subtle difference. Mimic is often used for exact biological or mechanical copying. Like, a parrot mimics human speech perfectly, but it has no idea what it's saying.
Right, it just makes the sounds.
Yeah. But imitate often implies some level of understanding or aspiration, like a young musician imitating a famous guitarist. They are trying to capture the feeling, the essence.
Oh, I see. So the expert system in our text is the parrot. It's just mechanically mimicking the rules.
Precisely. And this leads us right into another massive vocabulary word from the text.
Definitely.
Replicate.
Right. The passage says the goal is to replicate the expertise and reasoning of professionals.
Let's do some morphology here, because breaking down words is basically a superpower for the reading section.
For sure. So what are the roots?
We have the prefix re, which means again or back, like in repeat or rebuild.
Okay, doing something over again.
And then the root is plicare, which comes from Latin, and it means to fold.
Wait, to fold? So literally, to fold again.
Yeah. Think about making a copy before printers existed. You'd fold a piece of paper over another to trace something, making a duplicate.
Oh, wow. That's really cool. I never knew that.
So over time, that physical act of folding something over to match became our modern meaning, to make an exact copy of something.
Right. So the system is trying to replicate, to make an exact copy of the steps a human would take.
Exactly. Specifically, it's trying to replicate human expertise.
And expertise is such an interesting noun. We all know the word expert, like the actual person who is highly skilled.
Right. A concrete noun. The person standing in front of you.
But adding that suffix, that griffias or galeais at the end, it completely changes the word. It turns it into an abstract noun.
Yes. It takes the physical person and turns them into the invisible body of knowledge they carry around in their brain.
It's the difference between saying she is an expert in engineering versus her engineering expertise is amazing. The first is the person. The second is the skill itself.
And recognizing those suffixes will save you so much time on the exam.
Totally. So we know what they are in theory. Let's move to section two, because the author actually gives us a concrete historical example to anchor all this.
Yes, the MYCIN case study.
Okay, so imagine it's the 1970s. You're super sick, high fever, the whole deal. But instead of a human doctor checking you out, your symptoms are fed into a computer the size of a refrigerator.
Probably multiple refrigerators, actually.
True. And this machine asks questions, processes your data, and prescribes the exact antibiotics you need. This was MYCIM.
Developed to diagnose bacterial infections. And the text highlights something incredible. It performed as well as human medical specialists at the time.
Okay, I have to jump in here and push back on this a little bit.
Go for it.
If MYCIM was really performing just as well as human specialists 50 years ago in the 1970s, why didn't we have robot doctors decades ago? Like, why am I still waiting an hour in a waiting room to see a human today?
That is the perfect question to ask, and it's exactly what the author anticipates you asking.
Okay, so what's the catch?
The bottleneck. The text explains that MYCIN was brilliant, but it was incredibly fragile. It relied on a static series of questions. It didn't actually know medicine.
Right, going back to the recipe book, it just knew its flowcharts.
Exactly. So if a new disease was discovered, MYCIN was completely blind to it. It needed constant, extensive updates from professionals.
Ah, so it was smart, but frozen in time.
Right. And let's look at the verbs the author uses here. MYCIN was designed to diagnose bacterial infections.
Diagnose. I feel like we hear this all the time, especially at the doctor's office. In plain English, it just means to identify an illness.
It does, but the Greek roots tell a much richer story. The prefix is dia, which means apart or through.
Okay, apart.
And the root is gignoskein, which means to know.
Wait, to know apart.
Yes, to know apart.
That is so descriptive. Because when you're sick, you just have a messy pile of symptoms. A cough, a fever, you're tired. The doctor's job is to look at that mess and know the diseases apart.
Precisely. They have to distinguish the true cause from the noise. And MYCIN did this by, as the text says, inferring diagnoses.
Okay, everyone listening, pay close attention to this word, inferring. Or infer. This is a massive TOEFL word.
It really is. It will be everywhere on the test.
Let's break it down.
The prefix in means into, and the root fer means to carry or to bring.
So to carry into, meaning you are carrying a conclusion into a situation based on the clues you have.
Exactly. You are making a logical guess based on information. But we have to talk about the trap here.
Oh, yeah. The imply versus infer trap.
So many people use implied and infer as if they mean the exact same thing, and they do not.
How do you keep them straight?
Think of it as a conversation. One person implies, the other person infers.
Give me an example.
Okay, let's say you and I are detectives in a bank vault after a robbery. I look around and say, wow, there are scorch marks on the safe, and it smells strongly of sulfur in here.
Okay.
I'm implying that they used explosives. I didn't say the word explosives, but I'm throwing clues at you.
Right, so you're throwing the ball.
Yes. The speaker implies. Now, you hear those clues, you smell the sulfur, and you catch the ball.
No.
You infer that the robbers blew up the safe.
Ah, the listener infers. So M-I-C-I-N is the listener here. Mm-hmm. It takes the data, the temperature, the blood pressure, and it infers the diagnosis.
Perfect. And on the TOEFL, you'll see questions asking, what can be inferred from paragraph 2? They are literally telling you the answer is not explicitly written. You have to catch the clues.
That is such a good strategy tip.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned earlier that keeping iMyScien updated was the big bottleneck. The text says it needed extensive input from humans.
Yes. Extensive. The prefix X means out, and the root relates to stretching.
So stretched out over a large area.
Right. It means covering a large area or requiring a massive amount of effort.
So updating this machine wasn't just a quick 5-minute fix. Doctors were doing extensive work, spending hundreds of hours translating new diseases into code.
Which is exhausting. And that leads us perfectly into section 3, the rule-based bottleneck.
Let's do it. So the author has to transition from how great MyCIN was to why it failed to give us robot doctors. And they use a really specific phrase to do it.
They start the paragraph with, despite their potential, expert systems have limitations.
Despite their potential. That is such a classic transition.
It's a huge signpost for the reader. When you see despite, you know a contrast is coming. The author is pivoting from positive to negative.
It's like, okay, MyCIN was great, but here comes the bad news.
Exactly. The bad news is that they rely on pre-programmed rules and cannot adapt without ongoing human input.
I really want to use an analogy here for our listeners because it helps make the abstract tech stuff so much more real.
Go for it.
Think of these early expert systems like a physical paper map, like the one you unfold on a table.
Okay, I'm picturing it.
The day you buy that map, it is perfectly accurate. Every street, every bridge, it's a perfect source of truth, just like MyCIN was on day one.
Right.
But reality changes. The city builds a new road. Or a bridge collapses. The paper map doesn't know that. It can't update itself. The only way to fix it is for a human to take a red pen and manually draw the new road on the paper.
That is a phenomenal analogy. The map is completely static.
Right. And the text uses a great hyphenated adjective to describe this. Pre-programmed.
Yes. Let's look at pre. It simply means before.
Like a preview at the movies, viewing it before it starts.
Exactly. So pre-programmed means the rules were locked in long before the computer ever encountered the problem.
And because it's locked, the text says it cannot adapt.
Adapt is such a precise verb here. The root is add, meaning to, and apter, meaning to fit.
To fit to something new.
Right. Changing to suit new conditions. Animals adapt to climate change. But the paper map cannot adapt. MyCIN cannot adapt.
So, returning to the red pen, the human has to do all the adapting. And the text describes this updating process as labor-intensive.
This is a fantastic B2C1 phrase. Let's split it. Labor means hard work, usually physical or mental exhaustion.
Right.
And intensive means highly concentrated, right? A high degree of something.
So, putting them together, a labor-intensive process requires a huge, massive amount of human effort to get a result.
Yes. Think about the opposite, which you'll also see on the TOEFL. Capital intensive.
Oh, that's a great contrast.
A microchip factory is capital intensive. You spend billions of dollars on machines, but you only need a few people to run it.
But updating MyCIN in the 70s was labor intensive. It was like picking strawberries by hand. You needed a whole army of brilliant, expensive doctors manually typing out new rules.
It was completely unsustainable. Which brings us to section 4, the future upgrade. How do we fix the paper map problem?
Right. The author introduces a solution. The text says advancements in machine learning and natural language processing could address these issues.
It's that classic problem-solution structure we see all the time in academic writing.
Okay, but I have to ask, how exactly does adding these two things, machine learning and NLP, actually fix the map?
Well, let's break them down. Let's start with NLP, natural language processing.
So natural language is just human language, right? English, Spanish, whatever.
Exactly. For decades, computers only understood code. NLP allows the computer to process, read, and understand human language in context.
Oh, so instead of a human doctor having to read a medical journal and translate it into computer code.
The computer can just read the medical journal itself. It can read the human language, understand the symptoms of a new disease, and process the data.
That's incredible. But wait. Reading an article is one thing. Changing your own rules based on what you read is different. That must be where machine learning comes in.
You nailed it. Machine learning allows the computer to adapt its own rules. It looks at the new data it just read and adjusts its internal flowchart without a human typing anything in.
So going back to our map analogy, with NLP and machine learning, the paper map wouldn't just sit there. It would be constantly reading city council traffic reports online.
Yes.
And when it reads that Main Street is closed, the ink on the paper map would literally fade away and redraw itself to show a new route.
That's exactly what's happening. The system becomes an independent learner. And the text uses a great word here, advancements.
Let's talk about that suffix.
Advancement.
It takes a verb, advance, meaning to move forward, and turns it into a noun representing the progress itself.
Like develop becomes development.
Exactly. And researchers are, quote, integrating these advancements.
Integrating. I love this word. We have the Latin root integer.
Which means?
Like in math. An integer is a whole number. No fractions. Just whole.
Right. So to integrate means to combine two or more things to create one whole functioning unit.
You're not just taping machine learning onto the side of the old system. You are weaving them together so tightly they become a single whole entity. Beautifully said. And the final piece of vocabulary for this section describes how the researchers feel about all this. They are optimistic.
Optimistic. This means being hopeful about the future, expecting a good outcome.
And the root is optimus, which means best, like you expect the best.
And from a test-taking strategy perspective, knowing this word is crucial. If the TOEFL asks you about the author's tone, and the text says researchers are optimistic, you can instantly eliminate any answer choice that is negative or fearful.
Exactly. The scientific community sees this as a positive evolution, not a scary sci-fi movie.
All right, this has been an awesome breakdown. Let's jump into section 5 and summarize all of this because we've covered a lot of ground.
We really have. Let's do a quick tag team recap of the narrative arc.
Sounds good. So the article starts by defining rule-based expert systems as AI designed to mimic human experts. They follow rigid rules.
Then it moves to the MYCIN medical program in the 1970s. It was a huge success at diagnosing illnesses, but it had a fatal flaw.
Right, the bottleneck. It was entirely pre-programmed, meaning keeping it updated was a brutally labor-intensive process for human doctors.
And finally, the article looks to the future, explaining how integrating machine learning and NLP will allow these systems to adapt independently, which has researchers feeling very optimistic.
Such a clear problem-solution arc. Now, let's do a rapid-fire review of those critical C1 vocabulary words. I'll read the word, you give a quick reminder of the meaning. Ready?
Let's do it.
First word, mimic.
To copy external behavior without internal understanding, like a parrot.
Replicate.
From the root to fold. It means to make an exact duplicate or copy.
Diagnose.
Meaning to know a part, distinguishing a specific disease from a messy pile of symptoms.
Inferring.
To carry into. Making a logical guess based on clues. Remember, the listener infers.
Labor intensive.
A process that requires a massive, exhausting amount of human effort.
And finally, integrate.
From the root for whole. Combining separate parts to make a brand new unified system.
Amazing. If you, the listener, can master that vocabulary and that problem-solution structure, you are going to crush passages like this on the TOEFL.
You absolutely will.
Well, before we wrap up completely, we usually like to leave you with a final provocative thought, something to kind of chew on that builds on what we just read.
Yeah, I have one that always kind of blows my mind regarding modern expert systems.
We'll lay it on me.
So we established that modern systems use machine learning to adapt and operate completely independently from humans, right?
Right. The map redraws itself.
Well, what happens when the map redraws itself in a language we don't understand?
Right. What do you mean?
If these systems are ingesting millions of data points a second, they might start inferring new rules and making connections that the human brain literally cannot process.
Oh, wow. So they get too smart for us.
Essentially, yes. Could we eventually reach a point where an expert system spits out a medical diagnosis and the human doctors looking at the screen have absolutely no idea how the computer reached that conclusion?
That is terrifying. It becomes a complete black box.
Exactly. The logic is so complex, it's beyond human comprehension. So then, do you trust a life or death diagnosis that you can't verify? Or do you ignore the machine and potentially lose out on a cure?
Oh, man. Do we blindly trust the machine we built? Or demand to understand it? That is such a heavy, fascinating ethical dilemma.
It's one of the biggest questions in AI right now. Definitely something to think about on your commute today.
Absolutely. Well, that brings us to the end of our deep dive.
This was a really fun one.
It really was. This episode was created by Lindy Upgrade Studio. Until next time, keep upgrading your English.